Okay, we're continuing the Rambam. We just started last week, Hilchos Melachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet. The last thing we mentioned is that the king has to be appointed by the Bezdin of 70 Zekanim and through a Navi. Then we continue, who is not eligible to be a king? Ein ma'midim melech mikal geirim afilu acher kamadaris ad shetia imo mi Yisrael. We do not establish a king from the congregants of converts. Cannot come from converts, even after many generations of converts, until his mother is a Yisrael, a legitimate Yisrael, born a Yisrael. Shenemar, as it says, Lo sucha loses alecha ish nochri asher lo achichohu. You're not allowed to place upon yourself a stranger who is not from your brothers. And the fact that he's not from your brothers, that means it's got to be like mamish. His father was a Jew, and all these other things. So, and based on now, it's interesting though. Not everybody agrees with the Rambam over here. According to the Tosfos says. See, Rambam says your mother has to be Jewish. Tosfos says as long as your father was Jewish, then you're also okay.
Mother
was a convert and the father was Jewish, then you're also okay. Yeah. And that's called amongst your brethren. And they bring out a whole number of sources. And the Kesef Mishnah writes, based on this, you can understand very something interesting, because Shlomo's son, who took over being a king from him, was who? Was Rechavam. Now, who was Shlomo's wife and Rechavam's mother? Was Naama HaAmonis, who was a convert herself. So you see that she was a convert and the son was a king, right? So some say that, as long as the father is legitimate Jewish and then the mother was a convert, we're okay. The Rambam seemed to say that no, the mother has to have been born Jewish for him to be accepted as a king. And we also, one second, we see the Gemara Yevamos also tells us that there were two sources that brought kings to us, Rus the Moaviah and Naama the Ammonis. So you see that, you know, that even though there were converted families, but if the fathers were completely Jewish straight up the line, that seemed to be fine. Now, the note of Yehuda says a whole new point to consider. He says, when we say it has to be mikerav achecha, it has to be amongst your brethren, that's only the initial time that you're establishing that dynasty, the first time you're setting it up. So it has to be totally from your brothers. But once you already have a king, who the king is a legitimate father and mother is Jewish, such as Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech, the father and mother are Jewish. So now he's part of the lineage. Start from David. So you're in the lineage, per se. Once you have the lineage, now you're just handing it down as an inheritance. We'll see later on, Malchus Yehuda, it goes from father to son. We'll see there's a lot of distinctions in that. You'll see the anointing of a king is only when you're establishing a dynasty, not when you're continuing a dynasty. So the note of Yehuda suggests that when the king is already a bona fide king and the kingdom is only transferring from the father to the son, then that's not a concept of sima. It's not like you're placing. It's not like you're placing a new kingdom. And since the father's already a kosher king, so the son can be a king, even if the mother was not born a Yisraelis. As long as she converted, that would be good enough. And therefore, there's no problem of worrying about the kashas of the malchus of Rechavam. So you don't have to necessarily see that the Rambam is not correct. Could be the Rambam is only saying, you know, when you're establishing the king, it can't be from converts. But if you already are maintaining the kingdom and the father's from a long line of kings already, and now from the mother's side there's converts, it shouldn't be a problem. Yes, now.
I was just going to suggest the paternal lineage based on what we talked about at the end of last week's parsha.
Exactly. So that would seem to be a factor there.
So David was establishing, right?
So David's okay. David didn't have any problems. He established it. Now you have Shlomo, who's continuing it, and he's fine, right? Now Shlomo married a convert, right? And now his son Rechavam. But we're not establishing a dynasty anymore. It just continues. Right? The third generation of the dynasty. So then you don't need.
Far enough away from Ruth.
Yeah. Well, because David's mother was born Jewish, was totally Jewish, right? So that's not a problem. And the mother and father were born Jews. That's not a problem. Okay. Now, this rule that we don't have converts like this taking a leadership role, flow l'malchus bovad, this is all not only for kingship. Elochol sroros b'Yisrael. Any type of leadership over the Jewish people would apply the same rule. For example, you can't appoint them as lo sar tzava, not to be the main general of the army. Lo sar b'chamishim, an officer over 50. O sar asara, an officer of 10. Afilu mumuna alama samayim, even to be appointed over, to bring water for everybody, when water was a very vital, thing for people. Shemachalik menu lasodas, they're gonna divide it up. There's a lot of fields that need the water to be divided, and it's really a position like the manager of water of the county, please. So that's an also an important enough position. Vein Sarach Lomer goes without saying that we would not appoint them if they're a dayan, or a judge, or nasi, or an exilarch. Shall yehail, so it has to be born and bred Jew. Shinemar, because the same idea. Mikerev achecha tosim alecha melech. From amongst your brethren, you will place upon yourself a king. So it means kol mesimos, any type of appointments. Sha'ato mason, that you're going to put a person, lo yeho elo mikerev achecha, he has to be from your brothers. So we've effectively removed converts to a significant degree from here. Goes without saying, I don't have to tell you that you can't have a goy be a king, right? I mean, if a convert were struggling with that, certainly a goy could not be a king.
What about Herod?
Well, that was taken, he usurped it. I don't think he was exactly appointed. It's a little bit different. There's more problems with Agrippus that we'll get to a little bit later on. Hey, now.
I heard Shul presidents being converts. Did you ever hear anything?
So, okay, well, he says, nowadays, things are a little bit, unfortunately, different, because, you know, we're worried about revolutions. You know, people, I'm just saying, we live in such a world, everybody thinks everyone's equal, but, it's also not such a pasha thing. I mean, you know, you'd have to work out some heterim for that, and really, they should not. They shouldn't be appointed. Now, the question is a shul president considered a significant appointment? And I'm sure you could hear two sides to the coin.
A rabbi being
okay.
Appointed.
Okay, so a rabbi would all...
He was
a Tana, but I don't know if he was a manik. He was a Tana. He was a Talmud Chacham.
Tana's a pretty big position.
No, that's not a position. I'm sorry, a Tana's not a position. You had hundreds of Tanoim, but you had the Rosh Sanhedrin. He wasn't the Rosh Sanhedrin.
Was Rabbi Akiva.
Again, that, I don't know if it was a position. Did he really have a position? He was a Rosh Hashiva. What?
Shemaiah
of Talion. They were descendants of converts, yeah. Though, but they weren't converts themselves. Descendants of that. You know, I guess sometimes if you don't have any better, but a direct convert, you know, again, being a Rosh Hashiva, not necessarily, I don't know, you'd have to think about it. It's an interesting question. But now we come to another issue. Hey, ain ma'midim isha b'malchus. We don't establish a woman as a king. Shenemer, it says, olech o melech. You place by yourself a melech, melech velo malka, and not a queen. There's no such thing as a queen in terms, you have the wife of the king. Okay. But not the queen, that the female is running the country. I know you're going to ask an exception. We're going to get to it in a second. Right? Is that on your mind? Devorah? Right?
Which one?
Devorah?
No, I was thinking of, what's her name,
Elena Hilni Hamalka.
Yeah.
All right, so
the one who has a street, Yerushalayim.
Yeah, again, I don't know if that was with permission. You have to know a lot of times during the second base of Megdish, you know, the Kohen Gadol went to the highest bidder. So, you know, the Roman government had a certain influence. Greeks had a certain influence to make things happen that we didn't necessarily have control over. So that wasn't, every year Kohen Gadol was dropping dead on Yom Kippur because it was sold to the highest bidder. Certainly we learned the laws of Kohen Gadol were clearly violated there too. But Devorah is a better question. Well, let's finish the halacha. Again, all appointments amongst the Jewish people, we only pick a man for that. Because all these appointments we saw in the last halacha are compared to a king. And just like we said, by converts, we don't have them be in charge of those things. So we would say the same thing. If they can't be a king, then they can't have these positions of importance. The Medrash Shochar Tov says the following words. I'll say it in Hebrew and English. Chashoch Hador. It's a very dark generation. Shaisha Manigasov. A woman has to lead that generation. You're going to ask a question from Devorah HaNeviah, that she was a shofetes by the Jewish people. So there's a number of answers. Number one, could be she didn't really make any judgments, but she was just teaching the judges what judgments to make. In other words, standing as the judge, that's the position of power. So she really didn't exert that power, but it would seem she was quite an intelligent woman. So what she did was she would teach the judges how to rule, but they would be the ones ruling. So she was like the woman behind the man, as it were, over there. A lot of this has to do with, you know, quota bas melech penimah, the strength of the Jewish women. Jewish women are not to be in public. There's sneas issues, all kinds of issues where, again, this is a, nigla, nister. The woman's strength comes subtly from behind, much more powerful, but from the sides, not from the front. Women are not in Jewish, their strength is in the hidden world, so they don't go up front. So therefore, she could have called the judges in privately and said, listen, I just want to educate you a little bit as to what judges you should make as you will be in that public position. Now, they could, another reason for the exception could be because she was a prophetess, so she was head and shoulders beyond everybody else, so that became an exception to the rule. Generally speaking, women and even men aren't prophets or prophetesses. So since they saw she had the Shekhinah more than anyone else, it was as if it would be as if God had made a Horah Shah. There's something called emergency measures. In other words, yeah, sometimes the exception proves the rule. If women were never, ever made kings except once, and if you remember when we learned the book of Shoftim, it was the rabbis were very critical of the Jewish people at this time. Because what's the matter? You didn't have enough guys who couldn't be the leaders, so there was a whole problem there. Even her husband Barak, she had to encourage him to take the troops out to battle, if you recall. He was afraid to go. So it didn't speak well of the generation, and it's not a lechatchila, it's not a thing that you would initially want to undertake. Therefore, so now here's we have again these shilas, where Mark is more of a shila, can a woman be a president of a shul? Which is certainly a bigger issue there. And now you're going to see from her also, can women, you see this from this Rambam, you see women should not be rabbis either. So that would be another strike against them in that area. So that's what to discuss over there. This is one more quick halacha vav. The last, for today, ve'ein ma'midim melech v'lo kohen gadol, when if you have a king or a kohen gadol, you don't give them certain jobs, because it's not respectable. Lo katzav, you don't make him be a butcher on a regular basis. Lo saper, not a barber. Lo bala, not a guy who works at the mikveh attendant. Lo bursia, not a tanner. And there's other girsas, not a clothes washer. Now, lo mipnei shem psulim, not that they're ineligible to do that. I mean, there's nothing wrong per se with him doing that. But ovil nasa nikol, but since that profession is not exactly the most esteemed profession in the world, if they're going to see the king of the Kohen Gadol tanning leather, ha'am mizalzim v'hemlam, they're going to denigrate them and say, why should I respect the king if he has to be a tanner? And if even they do work of that for one day, nifsal, they would now not be able to be to act as the king. Now, this is only if he's doing it really as a real job. But if he does it more as a, PR type of thing, photo op type of thing, more like Purim shtick or those kinds of things, the fact that he, tanned one hide doesn't mean anything. Could be, let's say, the king wants to go with all the tanners and be machazik them. He says, okay, guys, I remember when I was a little boy, I did it. So he'll do one or two hides to show them and to show he's part of them. That wouldn't render them out. But if he's doing a taka as a malacha, even for one day, that would remove him.